That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what is sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This parable kind of makes God look like a really lousy farmer. I've looked at this parable for years and years and years, and 3 out of the 4 places the seed gets dropped are on a path, on rocky ground, and among thorns. I'm glad John and Patty are here today. It's like, who would do that? On the path, on rocky ground, and among thorns. Well, either God's a lousy farmer, or God is just really extravagant with where the word gets sown. And I guess I'm going to have to go with the latter. That the word of God is so good, is so fruitful, is so rich, that God wants it everywhere. But it is in the church that God has a special place for it to take root. The word of God, the word of the kingdom, as Matthew calls it, is not just the Bible. And this is something that we need to kind of grasp before we go anywhere. Because when we hear the word of God with our ears, we think about this big book, and we think about the words getting scattered. But the word of God, the word of the kingdom, is richer than that. It's the fullness of Jesus. You see, Matthew didn't have this. Remember that, right? Matthew didn't have this. Matthew had the living, breathing Jesus in his everyday life. Can you imagine? And the Word of God was the Word made flesh. Jesus. The Word was the good news of the kingdom of God. Made flesh in Jesus. And Matthew got to follow Jesus around. Can you imagine? The healings, the teaching, the wisdom, the love. You see, Jesus could walk into any setting and love everybody. That's the Word of God. So what about this parable? The word does land in some odd places. And the word is sometimes received in shallow ways. Kind of like the weeds in our parking lot. I've never seen grass grow so well as in this parking lot or in my driveway at home. This year, both are very, very green. But that grass serves no purpose. Those weeds serve absolutely no purpose. Those are the path of the rocky ground and the thorns, where the word has nothing to soak into, no fruit to bear. And this is where Jesus ends up at the end of this parable, with bearing fruit. For it doesn't matter how much greenery there is. The proof of the plant is in its fruit. And here's what I want us to think about today, church. What God has planted in us, among us, around us, what fruit do we bear? You know we do. You also know we have to help cultivate each other all the time to keep bearing that fruit. Because it's not just where the seeds are planted, but it's how it's cultivated, how it's cared for, how it's nurtured along the way. It's not just that you can plant it in good ground. And I'm going to share a frustration with all of you today. Two words. Raise your hand if you share this frustration. Japanese beetles. They ate my rose bush to the ground. I want a pound of flesh. Japanese beetles. Now, all God's creatures have some purpose in this world. But these in particular, I think, perhaps crawled up out of the bowels of hell. They can strip a basil plant in one night.
my peach tree to shreds. And I think, no fruit can come in the face of this enemy. And we tried to eliminate them. The first thing we tried were traps. And so we set out a few traps. We thought, oh good, we're killing beetles. And the traps drew beetles. And they got heavier and heavier and heavier. And they weighted against the ground. And all of a sudden we had a bag full of beetles. It's disgusting. But it drew more beetles to the yard. And so with these two bags of beetles dying in these yellow bags, their brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles came floating around. It looked like some kind of pestilence of biblical proportion. Bugs everywhere. So we gave up on the traps. And then we tried a non-toxic deterrent, neem oil, that works for exactly a week. And then they come back with a vengeance. Okay, so I've shared my vendetta about Japanese beetles. What does it have to do with bearing fruit and the Word of God and the fruits of the Word of God? Think about it. What chokes out fruitfulness for us as Christians, as a church? What cultivates growth? I'll go back to Galatians 5 here. It's my go-to for fruits. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know these things. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Where they are, you know that the Word is being cultivated. When we can respond to the events in our lives, and in our church, and in our community, in our world, with love, with joy, with peace, you know the Word of God is taking root in us. When we can respond to the happenings in our lives, in our relationships, in our community, in our world, with kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, you know that the Word of God is being rooted deeply. Because the events of our lives and our community and our church and our world are not always simple, not always easy. But we encourage each other. We lift each other up. We practice so that we can respond fruitfully, so that we can be that good soil and cultivate that in others. The opposite, says Galatians. The Japanese beetles to the fruits of the Spirit. The Japanese beetles, Paul calls the works of the flesh. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness. That's feeling like you have license to do anything you want. idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Japanese beetles. Anytime you feel like gossiping, think the words Japanese beetles. Anytime you're envious, think Japanese beetles. You want to pick a fight with somebody? Japanese beetles. Anger? Japanese beetles. Okay, you see where I'm going? Take those works of the flesh and recognize the damage they do. They are Japanese beetles to the life and the work of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters of First Lutheran, you are fruitful. You are children of God, beloved, loved, and good soil. Called together by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is gifted to us, no less than to Matthew. We are in the presence of the living Christ. Let us continue to respond fruitfully. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.